Hey, welcome to Planet Shakers Church. We're so excited to have you with us today. I believe this message will change your life. Why don't you open up your heart and receive from God today? I want to speak to you on fire feeders today. Last week I've been talking on fire, you know, the week before I talked on fire, the convergence of fire. When fires come together, that's really what the book of Acts was, where fire came on the church and people joined their fires with other people's fires and it became a firestorm. And I talked about 2 weeks ago, feeding the fire. What feeds the fire? Gratefulness and thankfulness. There's a whole heap of things that feed fire, but hunger feeds the fire. Not letting people's lack of fire stop your fire. You know, giving your all feeds the fire. We talked about Romans chapter 12, to present your bodies. And I started as an illustration, which I'll start with again, when I talked about going to McDonald's and seeing these little kid there, and their brothers begin to take their chips and they go, "No, they're my chips." Remember that story? "They're my chips." And if I was the father, I would have bought every chip there was in McDonald's and shared it with other people and not give it to that kid. Because that's how we are sometimes with God. We say, "My talent, my ability, my time, my money, my anointing." And God says, hey, I'm the one who gave you a brain. I'm the one who gives you breath. I'm the one who gives you talents. I'm the one who gives you that job. I'm your provider. So when you understand it's His, everything of yours has been stewarded that God gives to you to make His name famous on planet Earth. And if you believe that, give God a praise. Amen. Amen. If you're watching online, we like to shout and cheer and clap and come into agreement with the Word of God, because the Word of God coming together in agreement releases the kingdom of God, and God wants to release a blessing on this generation. So good. So I want to speak to you today. The treasures of our heart feed the fire of the kingdom. The treasures of our heart feed the fires of the kingdom. In Luke 12, Jesus is there and he's in the crowd, and somebody calls out to him and says, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he says this word, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed." We live in a greedy world. My chips, my time, me time. Where do you get me time from? The Bible doesn't have me time. It's our time. In Him, I live and move and have my being. Not in me, I live and move and have my being. In Christ, I live and move and have our being. Because we're kingdom people. We're kingdom people. I always wanted to be a model. I didn't get invited to the wedding though. Anyone watch a wedding? I went to the football. Wedding, football, no brainer. What do you mean no? Oh, we'll bring the wedding to a beautiful woman and we'll just watch football at Mighty Men. Thank you very much. Some of you men said, "No, I'll watch a wedding." Well, good on you. No, that's good, that's good. Anyway, praise the Lord. Listen to this. Life, he says, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Let that sink in. A Selah moment. Life is not measured by my house, my car, my pay packet, my clothes, my shoes, my holidays. Life is not measured by that. See, the world measures life by what people have. God measures life by what people give. Then Jesus told a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he says, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. You ever seen people who have about 9 million cars? It's an exaggeration, but you see these people who have so much money, they buy all these cars and they go, well, it doesn't fit into my garage anymore. I better buy a building to put my cars in. I'm not against having cars, by the way. I think if you can get cars, good, have cars. But make sure that you're giving as well. So he says, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Retire. Doesn't say that, but that's what it means. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God says to him, you fool. You will die this very night. Thank you for that very encouraging word, Russell. Let's have a great week. See you next week in church. Amazing, brilliant. Then he says, who will get everything you worked for? Who will? You got bigger barns. You got more stuff. What's that going to mean when you pass from this life? He says, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. So he's comparing people who want worldly things, compared to a relationship with God. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Ooh, 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 don't worry, be happy. Ooh. That song was stolen from the Bible. Dun, 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 dun. Do you know that song? Some of you don't because you're too young. Someone's singing. Sing. Ooh. Ooh. Sounds terrible. Stop. You don't sound like a planet shaker right there. It says, then turning to his servant, he said, why worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear? For life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. You are more valuable to God than anything. The Bible doesn't say, for God so loved the world that he gave his life for the birds. It doesn't say, for God so loved the world he gave himself for the animals. And some people are more passionate about saving animals than they are about people. People are more passionate about saving this and saving that than about lost people. Woo. Look at the lilies. How they grow. Any lilies in this place? There used to be a girl who attended this church called Lily. Any lilies in this place? She went to America. It says, they don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, the richest, wisest, grandest king. We look at the royal wedding and go, wow, that's amazing. Not even close to Solomon. Solomon in all his glory, the Bible says, Solomon in all his glory, where are we? Was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God so cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. That's a time to give him a praise break, because he says, hey, I care for you. I care for you. I love you. You are the best. You are amazing. You are brilliant. You're incredible. High five somebody and say, he cares for you. Whew. Then he says, why do you have so little faith? Don't be concerned about what to eat or what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. And another scripture says, for my God shall supply liberally all your needs according to his riches in glory. See, God knows your needs and he says, I've got resource to back up your needs. You got some needs, I got some provision. Amazing. 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 It says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. And then he makes this little statement, so don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Wow, don't be afraid. Fear holds us back from being generous. Fear holds us back from loving. Fear holds us back from worshiping. Fear holds us back from being everything God called us to be. And God says, don't be afraid. Because, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. What is this kingdom? This kingdom that has no lack. This kingdom that has miracles. This kingdom that has breakthrough. This kingdom that has healings. This kingdom that has power. This kingdom that has no end. This kingdom. Then it says, because if you have a revelation of this, sell your possessions and give to those in need, this will store up treasures for you in heaven. This is so cool, this next bit. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, nor moth can destroy it. For wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, whatever you feed the fire with your treasure is what you build. Wherever your treasure is, there's your heart. So if your heart's God, your treasure is God. I'll show you somebody's heart by where they put their treasure. Treasure is time, treasure is talents, treasure is money, represents money. It represents your heart, your passions, your energy, everything. Where you put your passion, your energy, your life, what you have says what is important to you. So here's a few little thoughts on this. Number one, having wealth and gifts is not a sin. You know, the father of faith is called Abraham, and he was the wealthiest person in his region at that time. And he was called the father of faith. So obviously, faith does not mean if you have wealth, you're a sinner. And religion has tried to make people who are look blessed as that they shouldn't be blessed. It tries to make people look more spiritual by having nothing than having something. But God is a God of abundance. God is a God of blessing. God is a God of breakthrough. And he's our Father, and he wants to bless you, and he wants to show his children off to the world that are blessed, not just financially, but blessed emotionally, blessed in their body, blessed in their relationship, blessed in every part of their life. What does God want to bless you? To show what he's like. He wants to bless you. So you can be a blessing. Have you ever heard this saying? Abuse people, abuse people. So God wants to heal you, so heal people, heal people. Broken people, break people. But God wants to restore you so you can restore people. Yeah. So having wealth and gifts and talents is not a sin. The Bible never says having money is sinful. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Doesn't say money is the root of evil, the love of money. In other words, you love money more than you love God. You love stuff more than you love him. You love things more than you love God himself. See, the devil wants a lie that says you're blessed, that means there must be something wrong. But God says that's a lie. He says, I want to bless you so you can be a river, not a reservoir. Religion blocks up the blessings of God. Secondly, is this okay? Life is not measured by what we own, but by what we invest into. You see, Martin Luther, the great reformer, says, I've held many things in my hand and lost them all, but whatever I've placed in God's hand, I still possess. You see, if you invest into the things of God, they have an eternal value. If you invest into yourself, guess what you'll get back? Is yourself. Investment. Investment. You see, life is not measured by your house, by your car, by your income. It's measured by what you sow into the kingdom. Third thing that you see in this, we live a life with an eternal view, not a retirement view. This guy was going, well, I'll build bigger barns, I'll just sit back and retire. And you know, yes, you should have a plan for when you might not be working in your life anymore, and you have a plan to bless your children's children, because that's a biblical principle. But God never called you to retire. He called you to refire. And if you understand that this is just a journey that we're passing through and we're on our way to heaven, heaven is our final resting place. Heaven is our final living place. Heaven is our final worshiping place. And so if I go, well, I'll work for 60 years and I'll retire, we don't understand heaven. God wants you to be fruitful, more fruitful in your latter years than your earlier years. My grandfather, missionary up to the age of 70 years of age. That means hardly any income, and he double gave on his income. That means if he'd got, you know, 10 tea bags, he'd give two. Some of you go, what? That's what they used to give missionaries, used tea bags. Go look after yourself. Here's some tea bags. Some of you look at me going, really? Some people did that. You see, my grandfather learned the principle of giving. Comes home from the mission field, had no savings, had nothing, but God says, you look after my business, I'll look after yours. And at the age of 70, he got a house given to him, and he was able to leave an investment for his children's children. Why? Because he made God number one, and God says, you look after me, and I'll look after you and your family. We sow, in this story, you see, we sow to those in need. It says in one of these verses, it says, sell your possession and give those to those in need. Acts 4:34 says, there were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them. In other words, it was saying, you know, some people, there's two views on this, that people who sold completely their houses, or people who had extra income from other properties would sell them to help those in need. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever God speaks to you, see, you never give because I tell you to give. You give because God speaks to you to give. You give because the Word of God speaks to you to give. I might challenge you to give like I challenge you in every part of your life to be a giver to God, but you have to have a revelation of what God wants you to do. But God wants us to give to those in need. And those in need aren't just the people who lack food and clothing. The most needy people are people who don't know Jesus. The greatest need is a spiritual need. And when you sow into evangelism, when you sow into building the kingdom, yes, yes, we do that with Empower. We feed people, we clothe people, we look after people. Of course we do that. But the greatest need of mankind is a spiritual need. You see, you can educate mankind, but still have more problems being more educated than ever before. But when you meet the spiritual need and understand that people are lost without God, and then they find that God is real, they have a cause that's greater than themselves, and they start living the principles of the kingdom. Ooh, I'm glad I came to church this morning. Kingdom sowing, listen to this, brings a kingdom return. There's no GFC in heaven. There's no global financial crisis in heaven. Heaven has no lack. I remember the year that the global financial crisis happened and churches all over the world, their giving went down because people's income went down. And I remember that year we had a bushfire in Melbourne, and it was January. And before the GFC had hit, we were in January. And God, as I was running one day, I used to run back then. Now I just think about running, but I was running. And the fires were near my area, and I could see the smoke plumes. And I said, God, do you want us to take up a love offering? It was January. Now, in our church, January is the lowest giving period of the season because people go away and obviously sometimes they forget to give, but not now because there's text to give, so you can do that without even being here. Thank God for technology. But the giving is always down, so we budget for that. And so I'm running and I'm like, Lord, do you want us to take up a second offering? He said, no, give your whole offering. I said, pardon? I said, did you read the budget? He said, did you read my budget? So I said, okay, we're going to give. And you see, we decided to sow and we gave our whole tithes and offerings and actually brought in a whole heap more than we normally took up. We actually took up $160,000. And we gave it to people in need. We gave it to organizations like the Salvation Army and different groups. We have a PR company that came to us and said, why don't you tell the story? I said, no, it's not about our story. It's about us sowing into people's lives and experiencing the love of Jesus. And we don't even need our names to be attached to this. That year, when everyone else's giving went down, our church giving skyrocketed and went up 75%. Why? Because if you sow into the things of God, He will look after you no matter what the season is, no matter what you go through. My God is bigger than anything you go through, anyone will do to you. Well, our treasure determines where our heart is. So where you put your treasure is shows me where your heart is. I said this before. So if your treasure is the things of God, that's where you'll sow into. Yeah. You see, giving our treasure, whether that may be our talent, our time, our finance, or our passion, feeds the fires of heavenly revival. Last week, over 300 people, 340 people gave their life to Jesus here last weekend. Every week, close to 200 people give their life to Jesus in our churches. We help do things all over the world. In Papua New Guinea, 110,000 people in just two nights gave their life to Jesus. And we're part of seeing what's happening with Pastor Tim Hall and Pastor Jackie Hall in their evangelistic endeavors, giving their life to Jesus. We're involved in helping Prophet David McCracken go and be prophetic to the church so that people can make a difference and empower people and starting to see the impact of God through their lives. We help partner with World Vision and see what God wants to establish in those countries that are needing the ability to be educated and developed and to experience the presence of God. You see, or everything we do is about outreaching to people. We build a place like this so people can come and experience the love of God and the power of God and the freedom of God. All this stuff is not about being cool. It's just being about relevant of people. People coming in and say, I can relate to this. This can speak to me because Jesus spoke the language, but He demonstrated power. And He was relevant, but He was also powerful. And God wants us to speak the language, but He wants us to demonstrate the power of God. And so when we sow every week in our tithes and our offerings, but this offering coming up in June, when we sow our treasures, we feed heavenly revival fires. When we stand before God, you never know what that dollar meant to that person. I reckon when we get to heaven, there'll be a whole line, thousands and thousands. And God will say, remember when you gave? Remember when you did that? You stepped out and you gave sacrificially. Look at that line there. That's part of your testimony. That's part of what I did, because you gave of your time. You gave of your talent. You gave of your money. You gave of your heart. You gave of your life. And look at the kingdom heavenly fires that were fed. Wow. You see, we give from a position of royalty. We saw the royal wedding. Isn't it amazing? The royal wedding was on Pentecost weekend. And on our launch of this miracle offering. And there, you don't see at the wedding people turning up, looking like they just turned up. They come prepared because it's a royal wedding. There's no expense that's too big. And there's no, you know, the dress. Look at her dress. Wow. Look, did you see how long the train was? It was so long. It went down those stairs. There were three guys had to carry the train. It was so heavy. She had a back condition afterwards. You see, there was no expense because they had a royal mindset. And when you understand your royalty, your kings and your priests, you are a royal nation, a holy people. You are set apart by God to make a difference on planet Earth. You are sons and daughters of the King. That makes you a prince and a princess. That makes you a king in the making. That makes you a queen in the making. And God says, you give out of your royalty. Alexander the Great. The story is told, one day a beggar by the roadside asked for alms from Alexander the Great as he passed by. The man was poor and wretched, and he had no claim upon the ruler, just like we had no claim upon Jesus. But Jesus in his royalty reached down to us, just like Alexander the Great does in this story. Not right even to lift a solicitor's hand, a hand to solicit money. Yet the emperor threw him several gold coins. A courtier was astonished at his generosity and commented, "Sir, copper coins would be adequately met a beggar's need. Copper coins would adequately meet a beggar's need. Why give him gold?" Alexander's responded in a royal fashion. He says, "Copper coins would suit the beggar's need, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving. Copper coins would meet the need of a beggar, but Alexander wasn't giving from a position of need. He was giving from a position of royalty." So when you understand you're royal, you'll give like a king gives. When you understand you're royal, you'll give like a prince does. When you understand we're creating a wedding banquet, you'll give to fill it with as many people as we can. Why? Because where our treasure is. See, if you don't have a heart of a king and you have an orphan heart, you'll give like an orphan. What I can give for you, I can sort of give you this bit, but I got to keep this for me. But when you come with a king's mentality, my dad's rich. He supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. I give of myself. And the impact creates fires. When your giving and my giving comes together, whether it's a talent, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's singing, it creates a convergence of fire that becomes unstoppable and reaches places that no one's ever seen before.
Thanks for joining us today at Planet Shakers Church. Our heart is that you encounter Jesus in a powerful and a real and a meaningful way. I'm believing that this week that you, as you sow into people's lives, you give your heart to the cause of Jesus, you will see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We'd love to connect with you. Send us an email at church@planetshakers.com. Tell us what God's doing in your life. Also on any social media platform. God bless you, and we'll see you next week at Planet Shakers Church. It will change your life. See you soon.